Behind the Bite podcast is part of a network of podcasts that are good for the world. Check out podcasts like the Full of Shift podcast, After the First Marriage podcast, and Eating Recovery Academy over at practiceofthepractice.com/network. Welcome to Behind the Bite podcast. This podcast is about the real life struggles women face with food, body image, and weight. We're here to help heal, inspire, and create better, healthier lives. Welcome. Well, hello, everyone. You know, I have to say, you guys are asking some really great questions lately. And so with that, I really have to say I'm fortunate enough to actually have to choose which ones to tackle each week. And I really do appreciate you there listening and letting me know what you want to hear about. After all, I do keep saying that this show really is for all of you out there listening, and it really is. So this week, I want to address something that is, you know, I've heard comments and questions about for years. Not just this week, but it sure did come up again, and I thought it was important to discuss. So every so often, someone will come up to me and say something like, well, if I just really eat clean and never eat anything processed or that has any pesticides or anything, then I won't ever get sick, right? Now, I'm certainly not someone who can predict the future, nor am I someone who believes that there's a surefire solution to staving off illness. But even if I were, when someone asks me that, a big red flag goes up in my head. And you want to know why? Well, I'm hearing this person starting to ask me these things and ask me if it's a good idea to not only eat a certain type of food, but never to eat anything else again. And whenever it comes to absolutes with foods, and I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, we've all done it. We've labeled food in this way, like good or bad, healthy or unhealthy, allowed, not allowed. Nope. We've all done that. And similarly, whenever I'm not in my office or I'm just around with people in my own life outside of work, I'll have people come up to me and ask things like, you know, I'm just eating clean, you know, making sure I don't eat anything with sugar or that has any fat in it. And these two examples I just shared, they get me thinking about an eating disorder that's not yet in our diagnostic manual. It's commonly known amongst those of us working with eating disorder patients, but it's not as well known as the main three, which are anorexia nervosa, bulimia nervosa, and binge eating disorder. So what's this eating disorder I'm talking about? It's called orthorexia. Some of you may have heard of it, you may not, but you may be asking, well, what is that? Well, orthorexia is actually a common co-occurring eating disorder. And someone who has this will be really fixated on only eating healthy foods or quote unquote healthy foods, that they completely avoid entire food groups. Everyone who suffers with orthorexia has their own food preferences. So there's really no way I can say here that there's a typical list of foods someone who has orthorexia will or won't eat. So for instance, I've had patients who will only eat organic raw food while someone else will never eat anything raw and has to have everything cooked. But that being said, the most common form of orthorexia is just an obsession with healthy foods. They will never eat foods that, for instance, contain additives, pesticides, or aren't organic or processed. And they could spend hours planning what they're going to eat to make sure that they don't eat these undesired foods or foods from other food groups. And I've worked with several patients who've had orthorexia who are so stressed out because they would just spend hours meal prepping. And what that looks like, they could be running around to multiple stores just to find the right food because, you know, one store carried something that they could eat, but the other two down the road had something else. And, you know, then they'd be spending all that time grocery shopping, and then they'd come home and they'd have to wash the food, measure it out, cut it out, portion it out. And it would take so long. And despite how stressed out they were trying to do all this, they actually couldn't stop. They just had to eat this way because the fear of not eating that way the fear of putting something in their body that could possibly make them sick was worse. They actually had to control what they put in their bodies no matter what. So what are the signs and symptoms of orthorexia? So as I mentioned, it's an obsession with how and what they consider to be healthy eating. It's an extreme limitation in food choices. They will often avoid entire food groups. So like I said, no fats, no sugars, no carbs. And someone who has orthorexia, you know, eating with others who are consuming foods that they themselves won't eat often feel superior to them, kind of like they are in the know about what's best to eat. And this can really have a negative effect on their social life and their relationships. See, you know, you may be sitting here listening and thinking, yeah, so what? What really is so bad about eating so super healthy and not eating processed foods or just eating organic foods? Isn't that a really good thing? Well, again, I'm not here to debate if processed or unprocessed foods or organic versus non-organic foods. I'm talking about an illness someone has where they are so afraid, let's say, of becoming sick, that they become obsessed with not eating anything that is not on what they themselves have determined is healthy and not going to make them sick. Their entire life revolves around making sure that they are able to have these foods, that they can only consume these foods and avoid all other foods at all costs. And if they can't adhere to these strict dietary rules and guidelines, they're fearful, they're anxious. You know, some people will feel they become very, very ill. So you may be sitting there wondering how someone gets to this extreme way of thinking about food and eating, because it's not like someone just suddenly one day decides to become this way and eat this way. So typically someone will start out with a diet or what they consider to be, you've probably heard this term, clean eating. And clean eating can be described as behaviors that are centered on healthy eating, proper nutrition, or even restrictive eating patterns and strict avoidance of foods that are considered or perceived to be unhealthy or impure. And some examples of clean eating diets, you've probably heard some of these are like paleo or raw food diets. And people who adopt these diets claim that there are so many health benefits just by following them. But they all involve massive cuts in food groups and choices and can be nutritionally insufficient. So often, you know, they'd be following these lifestyles and they start to become obsessive with their thoughts and behaviors around eating. And they just, everything has to be clean, pure, and healthy. And this can lead to orthorexia. Now, okay, not everyone who starts a diet or starts clean eating will go on to have orthorexia. But for some, they do. They go on to take it to this extreme. And over time, someone will limit their food intake so that they deem everything they eat and put in their body as pure and clean. And, you know, this can lead to them eating just raw foods, and this can lead them to cleanses that they see as purifying. And these behaviors can and often do result in significant weight loss and malnutrition. And it's very sad, but people who consider themselves to be quote unquote clean or healthy eaters really do have orthorexia. And unfortunately, ironically, they're not reaching their goal of having a healthy body, but quite the opposite. They're hurting their bodies and they usually become quite unhealthy. Not only that, but they typically start to struggle in their daily functioning and have major consequences to their social life and relationships. You see, doing this, cutting out entire food groups and being so very rigid has severe consequences. It's really anything but healthy. So what are the complications from having orthorexia? So physically, they can become emaciated. They can have bone density loss and cardiac complications. But it's not just the physical complications. They can have social complications. So as I mentioned before, I've seen people spend hours just shopping for and preparing their food. And that alone limits the amount of time and energy they have to spend with other people. Because they limit what they're eating, they may become much more socially isolated. And think about it. Lots of social events involve food, so they may decline invitations to dinners, lunches, or even weekends away because, you know, above and beyond anything else, they have to make sure they only consume what they deem acceptable. I mean, think about it. Can you imagine how awful that must be to be so concerned about making sure you can have access to and eat only such a limited list of foods that you can't even go to dinner with a friend or go on a date with someone who just asked you out or go away on a vacation? Think about that. You can't feel free to plan a vacation because you'd be too worried about if you'll be able to find the food you can eat. The degree to which this illness affects someone's life is enormous. And the way this illness takes a toll on someone's quality of life and experience and connections with others, it's just unfathomable. This is not just clean eating. This is not just choosing to eat organic or not organic. If someone's life is so consumed with their food that their conversations with people are just around food, it's pretty limited. Think about this. Their whole life is around this food. So what else are they going to talk about? So then when they go to engage in discussion with people, that's really it. They just talk about food, meal prepping, types of food, chemicals, purity foods, and so forth. And, you know, I can imagine this could be a topic of interest for some time for some people, but if that is all the person can talk about or relate to with others, you know, over time, this is really going to start to affect the connections with other people. You know, they're going to be known as the person who only talks about food all the time. You know, and I also mentioned before that people who have orthorexia tend to feel superior to others who don't eat like they do, or people who eat the foods they consider toxic or unhealthy. And this can cause tension and risk between people if someone starts to talk down to them about how or what they're eating. Or worse yet, if they start to talk like they're the authority on health and food, it can really create an uncomfortable social situation where people start to feel criticized and even kind of guilty for what they've chosen to eat around that person. So, you know, other people may start opting not to invite them to events or wanting to just kind of avoid them altogether. So, orthorexia, right? Why is it happening? Why do people start wanting to eat clean anyway? If they start to want to eat clean, and then for some people, they start to have orthorexia. Why is this starting? Well, for one, we live in a society that promotes and idealizes healthy eating and thinness. And the media perpetuates this notion that these two somehow go together, right? And that, you know, that's a problem because there's this notion that if everyone just ate healthy, then they would be thin, which equals what? Success and happiness. And I really wish this faulty narrative would change, just change somehow, because being thin does not equate happiness and success. And chasing a number on the scale by restricting food is just not healthy. It will not lead to all these things that all these advertisements, all these ads promise. And if I can get anyone to hear anything today, to really take in anything, it's this. You will not become happy or successful in life by cutting out entire food groups and severely restricting what you eat. You're not going to achieve, you know, physical or emotional health and well-being by becoming so obsessed and consumed with what you eat that your entire life revolves around making sure you eat perfectly. And even if you lose weight by doing this, so what? People tell me all the time that they want to be thin so they can be happy and finally have the life they want. But so what? If you're thin, but you have no social life and no ability to go out and have fun or go away anywhere and have to spend the majority of your day stressing out about making sure you're only eating from a very short list of foods, then what good is being home alone? Who's out there seeing your thin body? Who cares what you look like? What's the purpose of losing weight if you just are at home all the time alone planning out your food? That's not the life you said you wanted, where you were going to be happy and out there and having this great life, right? But, okay, let's say someone started to eat clean because they're worried about their health and wanted to prevent illness and it had nothing to do with thinness, right? Here, too, is something I wish we could change the narrative about. There's so much fear about someone having health risks if their BMI is too high. People believe that if they weigh a certain amount, then they're doomed to be sick. And one reason for the rise in this popularity is due to society's fixation on health. People, culture, and media have all moralized eating, weight, food, and exercise. And people are beginning to believe that food or clean eating is the answer to any problem. So eating healthy or clean eating and even orthorexia are now seen as being, you know, this person's a morally right person, something you can do to be proud of. And it's an accomplishment. Like, oh, you're so good, right? You have so much willpower. And, you know, with the popularity of social media right now, people are much more fixated on how they're portraying themselves on their social media platforms. And they want to be seen as healthy too. So there's that pressure there, especially for the younger people. I think there's this pressure to like be seen a certain way, be portraying themselves a certain way. So you may be listening out there and thinking, okay, so how do you know if you crossed the line or what are some warning signs of orthorexia? So if someone becomes really anxious when healthy food options aren't available, that's one sign. If you're continually cutting out more and more food groups, if you have a narrow list of foods that you can eat because they consider those foods healthy, if someone is spending increasingly more time studying food labels and ingredient lists, if someone is worried about the food that they will be served at events, and you know, look at social media feeds. If they're filled with health-related content, that's also a sign. So if you or someone you know is showing symptoms of orthorexia, it's really important to seek help at these first signs or symptoms because there can be really bad long-term effects, like I said. So who's at risk for developing orthorexia? Now, an obsession with eating healthy can lead to orthorexia, like I said, but not everyone who tries clean eating is going to develop this. But there are some people who are higher risk. So there are some factors that can increase a person's risk for developing it. And this includes if someone's had a past struggle with an eating disorder, a history of dieting, poor body image, perfectionism, and anxiety, the internalization of the thin ideal, obsessive compulsive tendencies, and has access to organic and or clean food. And something to be said, you know, I've said this before in past podcasts, but this isn't, you know, just for women. All genders can develop eating disorders, including orthorexia. And I also want to note that not all people who suffer from orthorexia experience body image concerns. Again, this is looking at when someone takes this to an extreme and it starts to consume their life and starts to negatively affect many areas of their life. It includes their physical health and well-being. But if you or someone you care about starts to show warning signs of orthorexia, it's really important to find a professional help as soon as possible. So I hope that clears that up some. I know this is maybe a new eating disorder you've never heard of before, but I did want to bring it out there because I do get questions about this. And it is something that really, you know, people think, oh gosh, if I eat clean, if I eat healthy, that's a good thing. But really, if you take it too far, it's really not. It can really do some damage to you and become very, very unhealthy. So that's why I wanted to bring it up today. All right, everyone. Thank you, as always, for being here, and thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show, and if you did, you can rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. You can also go to my website at behindthebitepodcast.com, where you can get my free 9-week email course and start your journey to making peace with your struggles with food and your body. Until next time, to your health, everyone. This podcast is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regards to the subject matter covered. It is given with the understanding that neither the host, the publisher, or the guest are rendering legal, accounting, clinical, or any other professional information. If you want a professional, you should find one.